As was mentioned, my name is Angie Denise Otiniano, and I'm a UCLA graduate student working in collaboration with the LA County Public Health Department. And today I'm going to be talking specifically on the content of preconception care and the findings from the 2007 Los Angeles Mommy and Baby Survey. I also do not have any relationships to disclose. And this is just a brief overview of my presentation. To start off with the significance, we know that there is growing recognition that prenatal care is sometimes too late to prevent adverse pregnancy outcomes. When we consider, by the time women realize that they're pregnant, they've already missed an opportunity to address the needs of the fetus as they're many things have already been formed. We know that the heart starts beating on day 22, the neurotube closes on day 28, and this is only 3 to 4 weeks after a missed period. So it's very difficult to consider if women weren't planning these pregnancies, by the time they figure out they're pregnant, this is often too late to consider that less than 9 months of prenatal care is going to affect accumulation, as was mentioned, over her life course. Also, we know that there's a growing interest in preconception care. And in 2006, the CDC released recommendations to improve preconception health and health care. Now, many studies have looked at rates of preconception care utilization and found that they're low. However, few studies have looked at the content of preconception care. Now, our study was guided by these two theoretical frameworks. So using the ecological model, we know that birth outcomes are the product of not one single risk factor, but multiple risk factors operating at multiple levels. And when we consider the life course perspective, we view birth outcomes of a product of not only 9 months, but the entire life course of mothers and fathers. Now, the objective of our study was to examine preconception health and care among women of diverse backgrounds in Los Angeles. And just to give a little background on LAM itself, it was originally developed in order to address why infant deaths were rising and to aim for healthier babies across Los Angeles County. This continues to be the aim as they collect information about mothers before, during, and after pregnancy. LAM is conducted every 2 years, and in 2007, there was a more focus on preconception health. Now, LAM uses two modes of data collection. First of all, they use a mailed questionnaire with multiple follow-up attempts, as well as telephone, and this is really to increase the response rate and similar to what is used in PRAMS. Another unique feature of LAM is a multi-stage cluster design, which is a sampling mechanism where neighborhoods are sampled first, and then births within those neighborhoods are sampled to determine neighborhood effects on birth outcomes. Now, in order to measure preconception care utilization, women were asked if they talked to a healthcare practitioner before they got pregnant in order to prepare for pregnancy. In order to determine preconception care content, we asked these women who did utilize preconception care if their healthcare practitioner talked to them about these various topics. And these different topics were developed mainly from work that has been done on prenatal care and what needs to be covered in the prenatal care visit. In order to measure preconception health status and behaviors, women were asked if they had any of the following problems during the preconception health period. So now, in order to determine if preconception health status varied by race, ethnicity, and if preconception care content varied by preconception health status, we used Pearson chi-square tests, and we had a total sample size of 1,258. Now, overall, we found that preconception care utilization was low. Only 30% of mothers indicated that they did seek preconception care, that they did talk to a healthcare provider before they became pregnant on how to prepare for their pregnancy. When we look at it by race ethnicity, we see that Latina women were the least likely to access preconception care. And this generally follows the trends of Latinos being least likely to access care in general. So now if we just consider these women, this 30% that did utilize preconception care, we see that the reported content of preconception care varied significantly. So a good thing is we see that around 86% said that women who did utilize preconception care said that their healthcare providers talked to them about vitamin usage. But then when we consider all these other important topics here, less than one half reported receiving information on gums and teeth, anxiety and depression, immunizations, and previous medical conditions such as asthma and anemia. And now when we consider preconception health status and health behaviors, we find that more than half of women reported not taking any multivitamins or folic acid. Around half reported being under or overweight, and about 1 in 5 reported anxiety or depression. Now, when we look at these health concerns by race ethnicity, we see that Latina and Black women were the most likely to be under or overweight when we compare them to all other groups. When considering anemia, we see that about 1 in 4 Black mothers reported having anemia compared to rates as low as 8% among white mothers. When we consider multivitamin or folic acid use, Latina women were the least likely to report taking multivitamins or folic acid. And we know this is what's included in the basic content of just prenatal care. So now, we wanted to see if preconception care content was reflective of preconception health status and behavior. So overall, women with health concerns were more likely than those women without health concerns to receive content addressing those concerns, and this is what we hoped for. So for example, we see that among women who reported smoking, 94% received information on smoking cessation, compared to 52% of women who said this was not an issue for them, they still got the information from their provider. So overall, we see that among women who reported smoking, having high blood sugar, high blood pressure, and anxiety or depression, they were more likely than women who did not report these health concerns to receive this content. Whereas women who had issues with healthy weight, gums or teeth, and nutrition had about the same likelihood of getting this information than those women who did not report these health concerns. And one interesting finding is that actually this is opposite of what we would expect. So 62% of women who reported not taking multivitamins didn't receive information about taking multivitamins or folic acid use, compared to 93% of women who did not report this as being a concern. So now we also need to think about these missed opportunities. And when we look at women who reported smoking as an issue, 6% of these women still did not receive advice on how to address this issue. When we consider high blood pressure and diabetes, 12% of these women did not receive advice on how to address this. When we consider under or overweight, 22% of women did not receive advice on nutrition on how to address these issues. Looking at high blood pressure, 23% did not receive information on how to address these issues. And again, considering under and overweight, 26% did not receive information on a healthy weight in order to address this issue. And when considering vitamin usage, 38% did not receive advice on this. Anxiety and depression, 43% did not receive advice on this. And when looking at gum or teeth problems, 50% did not receive advice on this. So these are huge missed opportunities where these women actively went to seek preconception care. They had these concerns, however, they did not feel that their healthcare provider talked to them about this. Now, just to give a quick summary, again, overall we saw low rates of preconception care utilization, and it did vary by race ethnicity. We also saw that preconception health status varied by race ethnicity, and that Black women had higher rates of health concerns such as anemia and under or overweight, and Latina women had higher rates of health concerns such as under or overweight and lack of multivitamin and folic acid usage. Preconception care also varied by health status, which we expected. However, vitamin usage varied in the opposite direction than we expected. But most importantly, again, are these missed opportunities in preconception care. Now, some limitations to our study are the issue of self-report, that it may not necessarily be accurate of preconception care, that these women who reported not receiving this content may just not remember receiving this content. But even if this is the case, we have to think about what's important to these women. If they can't even remember their healthcare provider talking to them about these topics, how do we then expect them to implement these important issues in their life and address it for themselves? We also have to consider that because this is a cross-sectional study, the time order is we're not sure if it was just that women who reported health concerns did so only because they were diagnosed after their visit. But again, the bottom line is even these women who actively went to their providers did not receive advice on how to address these certain issues. Also in this presentation, we're looking at preconception care at a clinical level. And we know that it's much more than this. This is a very limited interpretation of preconception care, and this is more like a pre-pregnancy checkup. So we really need to consider a broader definition with routine visits for opportunities for preconception care as well as counseling. And now the implications of our findings are, first of all, addressing the missed opportunities. So these are women who showed up for preconception care having concerns and still did not receive advice. And again, these are just huge missed opportunities for improving birth outcomes among women. And now, those were the women who actually went to their providers. This was only 30%. So we have to consider the 70% who did not utilize preconception care and really think about what are the barriers that these women are having. How can we address these barriers? How can we develop policies and programs that will really ensure that women can then go forth and utilize preconception care? And in order to do that, we really need additional research on preconception care and content. Again, this is one of the few studies looking at content, and clearly we know more work is needed to ensure that women have quality preconception care. One of the core functions of public health is assurance, and we need to assure that women have access to this quality care. And particularly if they have health concerns, that these health concerns are addressed when we know that they can negatively impact pregnancy. And we also have to consider the life course. We need access to this quality care, but throughout the life course. So again, even if we define preconception care as 6 months before pregnancy, that's still not enough. And we need to ensure access throughout the life course. Also, we need to expand the definition of preconception care beyond the clinical setting, as we know it takes more than this type of preconception care to promote preconception health. So we need to consider the community level and consider programs such as community health workers or promotoras that can really deliver the message to the most vulnerable populations and can help tailor these programs. And I definitely want to acknowledge the many staff at the Los Angeles County Public Health Department who worked very hard on all of this, as well as students at UCLA and staff. Any questions? Yes.
That was a very nice presentation.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Do you have any sense of how many of the 30% of women who died preconception visit where actually this was not their first birth, so this could be also thought of as an interconception visit?
Definitely. So actually women who did seek out preconception care were more likely than those that didn't to have already had children. So there's this whole idea of the characteristics of these women. And right now we only have the first wave of data entered. So we've kind of done some preliminary analysis, and that we're hoping that from here we can do some regression to find out what is the difference between these women. Again, interconception period, what is it that we need to focus on? And if these women who are accessing preconception care, if they're more likely to already have a child, then we need to consider these women who are first-time mothers and who may not be planning these pregnancies, and how this has definitely implications on the utilization of preconception care and interconception care. Yes?
Would you have counted a regular checkup with a family doctor or an OBGYN as preconception care? You know, what if I didn't, did the woman answering the questions, was she asked, did you receive preconception? Because I would have not even known what that was.
Right, definitely. So the question just asked, 6 months, you know, think back 6 months before you got pregnant. Did you talk to a healthcare provider about planning for a pregnancy? So, yes.
So if I went for a regular checkup.
Right. But it would be how the woman interpreted it herself because she filled out the survey. But again, this is true in that women may not interpret it the same way. But even if she did go for a checkup, were these issues covered? And this is, again, why we need to consider the framing of preconception care maybe as a women's health issue and make sure that this is a way that we can take advantage of these opportunities when women are in the clinical setting. Yes.
You may have implied the answer to this, but if a woman had a social support service like a home visitor or other, would their response to these questions, the way you phrase, include information from that provider or more the healthcare delivery provider?
So the question specifically stated a nurse or a doctor. So again, this was a very limited definition of preconception care in the clinical setting, but it would be very important in the future if these programs are developed to ask about that as well, if you had somebody else talk to you about how to prepare for a pregnancy.
Yeah, and I think that has implications for what we do in public health.
Definitely.
To look at the whole picture rather than just the healthcare provider, who's doctor, nurse, who may be under different pressures.
Right.
And I just have one other question, that is, of the women who had a pre-existing condition that you said their topic was addressed. So, for example, if a woman had diabetes or high blood sugar, was their topic addressed? Was that just that topic, or what about other topics related to preconception care?
Right, so women were asked about all of the topics, and then we just wanted to look specifically, so among this population who said that they had an issue, for example, with high blood pressure, did they then indicate that their provider talked to them about that? Because it is important that we have this broad array of topics that are covered, but if women are going in with a specific health concern, then it's important that those are addressed as well and specific to the woman. Yes. Definitely. So women who utilize preconception care were more likely to be insured than women who do not. And this is, again, why we need to push for policies that are going to ensure access to care throughout the life course. Because if women only have access during the prenatal period, then it's not surprising that they're not accessing preconception care. I saw one more hand. Yes.
Can you ask about the intendedness of the pregnancy?
Yes. Oh, so you asked about the intendedness of pregnancy, and again, women who utilize preconception care were more likely to have intended the pregnancy. So these are all issues that we really need to focus on and think about what are the barriers and what are the characteristics of these women. Yes, one more.
You really raise an interesting dichotomy because you're talking about the women and their requests or their visits, but on the other hand, you still need to talk to the healthcare professional about providing this without the request for the visit from the patient as well. It's really both audiences need to be educated about the life course perspective and preconception care. Obviously, the woman, if she can be proactive, but we also need the healthcare providers to be proactive on his or her end.
Definitely, and it'd be very important to find out who were these healthcare providers. Unfortunately, we didn't have that information. We just knew it was either a nurse or a physician, but it would be very important that these are issues that need to be addressed in the clinical setting at the very minimum. This is the very minimum we can do for preconception care. Thank you.
Thank you. We're having wonderful presentations and great questions. Our last but not least, our next speaker is Amy Raines, and she's the coordinator for the City of Fort Worth's Women's Health Initiative. They created the initiative to address infant mortality in Fort Worth by creating and implementing interventions that aim to improve the health and well-being of women before and between pregnancies. She's also a founding member of the Tarrant County Infant Mortality Network and has been an advocate for women, children, and maternal health personally and professionally throughout her career. And she's in a doctoral program right now. Welcome.
Thank you.